And welcome to the show. This is your host, David Yanez, and you're listening to MidWatch with the Rev. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being a part of our broadcast here at the station. We're excited. We're excited that we're able to bring you guests. Yesterday we had, of course, B.B. Winans, and that was a great interview. And we had Suzanne Fisher, and that was another great interview. But we had a great time. In fact, B.B. Winans rep emailed me right away and just said that it was a great broadcast. And you're always a little concerned when you get the high caliber people, and but I treat every guest the same. I research them. I look at the material. I make sure I can make them feel comfortable, and it's pretty good what we do here, and just promoting others. And you know, when you promote others, God will promote you, my friends. You hear me say that all the time. Remember, our address is Revelation Ministries, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas 77325. You can email us, David at revmedianetwork.com. And right now we have on the line with us, we have Miss Tammy Kennedy. How are you, Tammy?
Hi, I'm doing great.
Hey, we are excited that you're on the air. And you're following a big lineup yesterday.
I know, I'm a little nervous because if somebody asked me, of all the famous people you would want to meet, I mean, this is over presidents, anybody, it would be CeCe Winans.
Yeah.
So the fact that you, I'm not kidding, I started out with BB and CeCe, and their music is probably what helped me hold on to God in my heart more than anything else after the abuse, because the Bible was very scary to me. And so their music, starting when I was like in my early 20s, and that was like over 20 years ago, they helped me heal like I just can't even tell you. So that is good.
Amen, amen. So it's fitting that you're on the show with us, and you can compliment yesterday's show as well. And again, I apologize on the time slot thing. We always have our show at 11, so if I misrepresented that, I apologize. Either way, you're on the air with us. And I know you're in Atlanta, and you were in Florida when I was out there at the ICRS. And just for people to know how we got this interview going, was my pastor was manning the booth upstairs for me, and I was downstairs doing interviews. I did 50 interviews over there. Everybody knows that. And he was just really touched. He goes, "You got to interview this lady if you can squeeze her in." but you know, 50 interviews. We just didn't have any time. And you want to be able to service everyone you can. And you know, they're just literally the day that they're packing up to go, I was still recording. In fact, when people left and other media people was gone, I was outside my media room and just on a table and still recording and doing shows. So, you know,
wow.
we just want to make sure that everybody knew that what we're doing and stuff here is getting guests and stuff. And when he just was touched by you, and he goes, "Whenever you have time during the year, please call this wonderful story and this wonderful person, please." And I'm like, you know, it's my pastor, of course, and I was like,
right.
Well, let me check it out, see what we can do. And what happened was we had a lot of time slop here in September, and I'm like, you know, it's time to start calling some of these ICRS people that I did not get to. And you're the first one.
Awesome. Well, it's an important topic in our community. It's a real important topic, and it's not being addressed enough to help families heal. So,
amen.
Not necessarily me, but
tell us
the topic.
I know you wrote the book, Jingles Lost Her Jingle.
Before
we jump into that, tell us about your ministry. Tell us about yourself. Give us your testimony, and then we'll jump into the book.
Okay. It took me a very long time to heal. I was severely sexually abused from the time I was about a toddler until I ran away at 16. And I'm 47 now, and so that was, you know, 35 years ago. And there was no Oprah or, you know, anybody helping me understand my feelings. And I started, like, cutting and burning myself when I was 8. So I started self-harm, you know, and things like that, trying to deal with the fear and the pain of everything going on very young. And like I said, I didn't have anybody to help me with all the feelings. And so My sisters were eventually put in foster care, and I was sort of out on my own. And it took a long time for me to understand how much God loved me. And my mother was schizophrenic, and so there was a lot of religious abuse. She was the one that was giving me to men for wrong purposes, but she was, like I said, she was schizophrenic. So there was a lot of spiritual, you know, like the angels used to drive our car. She'd take her hands off the steering wheel and speak in these strange tongues and all that and close her eyes and dare me to touch the steering wheel because the angels were driving our car. And there were so many times I would grab the steering wheel just before we hit the median, and she would hit me in the face because I didn't trust the angels to drive the car. So it was really crazy making stuff, and I didn't understand. And so she would say, "My God." And so I just really believed. I didn't believe that God was on my side necessarily. I always sensed him around, but it was very confusing. And so when I would go to church and I would hear these scriptures, because my mother spouted scriptures constantly, I had a very hard time reading my Bible and sitting through church without getting triggered. But music, God used music in an amazing way. And I'm telling you, if I could tell you how many times Cece Winans and sang to me and I sobbed because it was allowing God to come in. Through a bunch of different things, I ended up in mental hospitals in my late 20s and early 30s. I'd be in and out of mental hospitals. They diagnosed me when I was 17 with something called multiple personality disorder, which later was called dissociative identity disorder, and then major depression, suicide, anxiety disorders, bad eating disorder. So I was in and out for eating disorder. I just was a very sick, sick young woman. But like I said, God had me on a journey of recovery and restoration through counselors and friends and music, so many things, and you know, Bible studies and different things. And over time, it's taken me a long time. Over time, I got my jingle back, and now I know I'm a princess. And I went on a mission trip in 2009. To Ghana, and I was in Africa for 10 weeks, and that's where God did a lot of the finishing touches to show me that I'm royalty. I'm telling you, I did not know God loves us this much. And so when I came back, while I was there, God gave me the vision of the King's Treasure Box Ministries, which is our ministry, and I asked God over and over, okay, if it's called King's Treasure Box Ministries, you know, Lord, what would be in your treasure box? I was imagining, you know, a king and he has a treasure box. What would be his treasure? What is the most important, you know, thing to God, you know? And I was imagining it. And one night in the middle of the night, he woke me up. And all of a sudden, he spoke in my heart and he said, "Honey, don't you know it's you?" And I'm telling you, it was as if he was sitting there. He said, "Don't you know it's you?" I started bawling, crying. I couldn't believe that the God of all universe, his children are what is his most prized possessions. It's us. And so I started writing lots of things. I've got lots of ideas for a lot of therapy things to help people heal. And this book started this past September and got done really fast. I woke up in the middle of the night and the whole story was in my head. In one sitting, the Jingles book, a huge portion of the Jingles book got downloaded directly. It was just the weirdest feeling. And I know that our Father wants to help us heal. And, you know, I wish I could have healed earlier because, you know, when we're wounded, we turn to coping skills that are not safe. You know, and it's a miracle that I didn't end up under a bridge, you know, on heroin and a prostitute and hating myself and continuing to cut myself and all those things. It's just a miracle, and I want to help children heal right away rather than carrying all that shame throughout marriage and adulthood and, you know, a lot of addictions and, you know, abortions and all those things.
Amazing, amazing. Now, at 2009, that's when things started to change for you, correct?
Oh, well, it started changing. You know, when, I mean, God started doing a lot of stuff all along the way, but in 2009 is when I really recognize God's amazing love for me personally. Before that, I knew God loved everybody. He, you know, he loves his children. You know, I mean, it wasn't so personal until 2009 when I was in Africa.
Amen, amen. That's an amazing, amazing story. Now, what made you decide to put it into a book?
I recognized that I was believing a lot of lies. Like, most of my life, I believed that the abuse was my fault. Most of my life, I felt dirty. I really felt, I mean, I literally used to put some bleach in my bathtub. Starting when I was a teenager, I would do that. I felt so dirty, I could not get myself clean. And so that was one of the lies, that I'm dirty, I'm bad, that I was worthless, and that the abuse was all my fault. When I look back at all the things that happened, somehow in my mind it seemed like I could have controlled it, and it was all my fault. So in the book, Giltazar is the lie monster that's trying to give her the message that it was her fault. But Princess Gracie helps her pick up her sword of truth, and they fight it. They go back into the story and look at the evidence, and they fight the lie monster with the sword of truth to help Jingles know that it was not her fault. And they fight all the lie monsters like that with the sword of truth, and she gets her jingle back.
Hmm. That's amazing. Now, when you put this book together, were there a support group for you, or were there people around you that encouraged you to put this out?
Yes, I have an amazing team that God has put together. I have a board for the King's Treasure Box Ministries, and so I had people editing, I had people just doing every little thing. I mean, absolutely, there's no way I could have done this by myself. I've had wonderful friends to help me all along the way.
Now, has this book opened up ministry opportunities for you?
Well, I dress up as Jingles the character. And, in fact, I'm going to be on Atlanta Live tonight, a TV program here in Atlanta. And I love to go to inner-city outreaches as Jingles. And I have another friend who does a character. His name is Phil Williams. But he has a character named Little Jimmy. And so Jingles and Little Jimmy performed together at, like, inner-city events to talk about safety. I wrote this skit called the Perp Skit, and it's very funny, just talking about safety for kids to understand, you know, that a perpetrator is not going to look like a creepy man down the street. It's probably somebody that you know, like a friend of the family or a neighbor, or it could be a coach, you know. And so it kind of dispels a lot of the myths, the skit does. And so we sing songs together and do skits and stuff to help the community. And so, yes, it's opened up several doors where I can help kids heal.
Oh, amazing. Now, I was on Atlanta Live 3 weeks ago.
Fun.
Yeah, that's my second time being there. Are you going to do the triangle, or are you just going to do the Atlanta Live? The triangle is Atlanta Live, WBPI, and WGGS, Greenville, Augusta, and Atlanta.
I already did the Greenville, so I guess Atlanta Live is next. And then I guess if they ask me to do Augusta, I'd be happy to do it.
Oh, yeah, I got good friends there, so just mention my name to them. They will.
Okay.
Yeah, they're real good friends. In fact, I got B.B. Winans to agree to go out there for them.
I want to go out there when he goes.
I'm not sure when he's going to go, but I know that he's really excited about going. But, you know, it's just about getting a story out. And when people see your heart and see that you're trying to be a blessing and trying to help, they're more than willing to share airtime with you, to see how they could help promote you. And I'm looking through the book, and it's amazing the little character that's behind you in actually – page 29, which says lie number 3, I am dirty, and it has that just that little monster behind you. Can you explain?
Yes.
Can you explain what that monster is? And it's pretty good drawn. Who did your illustration? Because it's wonderful.
Yeah, that's Icky Lamar.
And Icky Lamar.
Yeah, that's Icky Lamar. And Icky Lamar wants her to feel like she's dirty, and no matter what, she can't get clean. So you see, she's in the bathtub. And Icky Lamar is, you know, spouting stuff about being dirty and all that. And that just represents the feeling of, you know, being clean. And all of us can relate to that. I mean, just as sinners, you know, we all think, okay, well, there's no way God can love me because, you know, of all the things in my past, you know, I sinned too much. And so we all, even if you weren't molested, you know, we have lie monsters that come to attack us. And, you know, sometimes the lie monster's voice sounds like our own. And that's part of the book. I say the lie monster sounds like your own voice.
Yes.
But it's really the enemy trying to tell us negative things about ourselves so that we're detached from God and we don't understand our worth in Him. And so, you know, I've had so many people come to me as adults and say, I read your book, you have no clue how much that helped me. And some were molested and some were not. It was just the thought of, wow, I am believing a lot of lies. And so that's been a big blessing, thinking, wow, I mean, I certainly wrote this thinking I would be helping children, but I've had so many adults, a lot of them who had been molested and never healed. And they'd say, I never told anybody, or it was a secret, or, you know, I still carry a lot of those lie messages. Thank you, this helped. So that's been exciting to feel like I can help some person.
That's amazing, because God has a plan. and you had just trying to help kids in your mind, but God knew there's a lot of grown-up kids that just needed some help, that you were even at that spot, and you had to forgive yourself, and God had to take that burden off of you. And some of those people are still carrying that. Some of those people are still holding on to what you felt back into 2009 even. And so that's amazing. That's amazing.
It is amazing.
And now
I'm working on.
Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I'm working on a boy version now called Little Jay Lost His Jam.
Oh,
and
that sounds cool.
I've already written it, and so now we're in the process of getting it illustrated. And it's going to be sort of like a comic book, and it's for boys who've been abused because, you know, I don't know if you know the statistics, but it's 1 in 4 girls and 1 in 6 boys will be molested by the time they're 18. And that's just reported. And so the truth is, it's way more than what we know. I mean, you know, most of the guys that were abused at Penn State, they would have never told, you
wow.
know?
Okay.
And so if you think about that, guys especially, they don't tell. There's just so much shame and embarrassment, they won't tell anybody. And so when we know 1 in 6, we actually know it's a lot more because guys won't tell. And so I'm working on this book to try to get, you know, boys to find their bravery and their courage and become the warrior that they were meant to be and fight it and fight the lie monsters and be courageous and tell so that you can find out the truth.
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
So
no, that is awesome. Now, has this opened up kids as well? Have they come forward since reading your book?
Well, this is the thing. This is so new. I just got that copy in July, that book. I just got that in July when I went to the thing in LA. Yes. So I'm having a hard time marketing, trying to figure out how in the world do I get this book into people's hands. I mean, you can get it on Amazon, but nobody knows about it.
Yeah.
And so that's, you know, what... there's, you know, a lot of Christian therapists, this would be, or even non-Christian, because if it talks about her father as a king, it doesn't have to necessarily be, you know, because it's kind of princess and king. So I didn't want to exclude anybody. You know, I wanted everybody to be able to use the book. And so anyway, so just trying to figure out how to market it to, you know, counselors and things like that has been a little bit of a challenge.
Well, you know, God will give you wisdom. You just keep praying for it. And then also maybe try and get a hold of some other children's book authors and talk to them and get some advice from them, you know, and see how they're marketing and who they're with and stuff. And that might help.
That's a good idea.
Now,
that's a good idea.
Tell us how to talk. Give some advice to parents. I see this in the appendix, how to talk to your child if you suspect abuse.
The way you handle it from the beginning will make a huge difference on if your child will continue to talk to you about this. And so that's one thing, is if you suspect it, it's real important. If you suspect it, I would actually get help even talking to your child about it and go ahead and call somebody and get some help. But if you can't do it, you know, as far as like a counselor or whatever, but if you can't, you just kind of want to casually talk about it, then I would say, you know, ask your child, has anybody ever touched you in a way that made you feel yucky, and start from there. And if the child says yes, you know, it's real important, don't overreact. You're going to feel like crying and going crazy and saying, I'll kill him or her, you know, I'll kill her, I can't believe she touched, you know, and your rage and anger right away will make the child be afraid to continue talking. So, you know, it's real important, you know, to be able to stay calm and reassure him or her over and over, we're going to help you, and I believe you. That's a big thing. I believe you. I believe you.
Amen. And I like what you put here. It's not your fault. I like that.
It's not your fault. So those are the kind of reassuring things to talk to your child about,
okay,
and get the child in to counseling. But I think I have like 10 or I don't remember how many do's and don'ts I have, but they're all important. Those are things that really I see parents do. Like I said something about keep, you know, their responsibilities. A lot of parents will feel so sorry for their child that they'll let them get out of things, like coddle them. You know, it's real important to keep the child's routine, you know, as much as possible.
Okay.
So that if you baby them and say, oh, poor Heather, I'm not going to make her do her chores or her homework because, you know, she was touched 4 months ago. Well, she's going to learn to use that as an excuse through life.
Yeah.
You know, and so if you make it so horrible that she doesn't have to do daily life, then she'll learn, you know, that, hey, I can use this to escape. And so things like that.
Okay, absolutely. For those just joining us, we have been talking to Tammy Kennedy. She has gone through a healing process and of just of being molested at an early age. And God's done some remarkable things for her. And she's written this book, Jingles Lost Her Jingle, a very powerful book and very loving illustration, children's book, Discovering the Truth After Sexual Abuse. And I recommend it. I ask you to get a hold of it. Tell everybody how they can get your book.
You can go to the publisher, which is actually just get it on Amazon. That's probably the easiest for you. But because I'm trying to think of the www. It's Advantage. It's Advantage Bookstore.
I got it right.
You got
here.
It.
Yes, it's advbookstore.com. Again, that is. I'll do your commercial for you. That is advbookstore.com. And it stands for Advantage Books. And of course, if you can't find it, just Google it, and just Google her name. Google Jingles Lost Her Jingle. Do you have a website to give out to anyone?
Yes. It's www.thekingstreasurebox.org.
All right, tell us about some upcoming events. I know you're coming on Atlanta Live tonight, and what else is in your plans?
Well, this Saturday here in Atlanta, there's a big, huge event called the Fountain of Hope. It's a inner city project thing, and there's going to be a lot of people at it, and Jingles is going to be performing her skit and about child safety on stage. And then I love to do face painting, and so after I do the safety skit, I'll probably be face painting about 200 children this Saturday.
Amen.
And I'll be in Columbus, Georgia for Oktoberfest, and little Jimmy and Jingles are doing a song together and a skit and stuff there. And then there's something else around Christmas, and so. But right now, I'm really focused on trying to get this boy book out so that we have it ready and available for boys.
Amen. Amen. Well, that's good that you're staying busy and you're getting things done. Can I ask you another question?
Sure.
Now, has this the whole experience for you from being healed and building the book, has it given you a greater love for kids?
Oh, my gosh. I've always loved kids. When I was a little girl, I remember somebody asking me, what did I want to be when I grew up? And I remember saying I wanted to be a pediatrician. I was the oldest of there's three of us. So I had two little sisters. And I took care of them all the time. I mean, I did our laundry as a little, very young. You know, I love them. I worked in daycare centers. And so God always put a love for kids in my heart.
Amen.
But I certainly can say my love and concern has matured over the years. And what I'm most passionate about is them being healed. I want them to know how much God loves them unconditionally. I just can't preach that enough to children. So, you know, it's an unconditional love. God's always there for you, even when you mess up. You know, He's got your back more than what you know. Even if circumstances don't look like it, God has your back. You just got to walk it out, and it takes time, you know?
Amen. It does take time. Give me your website one more time.
www.kingstreasurebox.org.
KingsTreasureBox.org. You can get
Kings with an S.
Kings, KINGS, TreasureBox.org. Yeah. And you can get the book at advbookstore.com, or you can go to Amazon.com. And the title again is Jingles Lost Her Jingle by Tammy Kennedy. Tammy, thank you so much for being a part of the broadcast, and keep us up to date with what's going on.
Okay.
And I'll send you an email for the person that runs the station at that other one over there, and I'll recommend you to them so that way they can they're always looking for guests, but this is something I believe the owner will like. This is the topic. And
wow.
Okay. So
thank you for what you do. Seriously. I mean, we all have a calling, and what you're doing is so amazingly important. And I think you'll never know on this side of earth how much you've helped people until, you know, I mean, so thank you.
You're welcome.
Very much for what you do.
Well, that is very nice of you to say. I appreciate that. I just want to help and put people out there and give people a voice, and you're definitely putting the Word of God out there. And every time I bring a guest on like yourself, I'm putting a new element of the Word of God out there to someone that needs it.
Right.
And we never know what they need across the airwaves, but God does. And
that's right.
Amen.
My
pastor is like listening to us downstairs because he was so excited that you're going to be on. So I'll tell him you said hi.
yes, tell him.
Okay.
All right, great.
All right, God bless
you.
And
you too.
Okay, keep me up to date with what's going on. If you need to come back
I
on,
will.
We'd love to have you. God bless you again.
Okay, thanks. All right, you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And that was Miss Tammy Kennedy. That was a pretty good interview. It was. Very touching. If you don't know, kids are important to me. Amen. I have beautiful kids, and I love kids. I do. And when I seen this topic, it's a sensitive topic, no doubt. It's a topic that a lot of people don't want to talk about, but it needs to be talked about. It needs to be addressed. It needs to be brought out. And Tammy's figured a way to bring it out and make it open to anyone, to adults, as you can hear in her testimony. Many adults are coming up to her and telling her that the book's helped, but also to kids. They can get this and make a decision how they should let the parents know. It's an amazing, amazing topic, and it's had to be talked about. Now, if you're in Atlanta, please look at Atlanta Live tonight, Channel 57. You'll be able to see Tammy Kennedy on that. But if you're not in Atlanta, you can look at it online if you go to AtlantaLive.com, AtlantaLive.com. Again, that was Tammy Kennedy. We talked about Jingles, Lost Her Jingle, her new book, and she's working on one for the boys. That's going to be a good one as well. But anyway, our friends, we'll be right back. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with Sarah Sundin, and she's written several books. We'll be right back in just a sec.
Basically a good person? If you said yes to that question, it's clear that you've not been convinced of what Jesus said he would convince. He said the Holy Spirit would convince the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. Have you ever been convinced that you're basically a bad person and in danger of God's judgment? The great preacher George Whitefield said, "Before you can speak peace to your heart, you must be made to see, feel, and weep over your actual transgressions against the law of God. Did you ever see that God's wrath might justly fall upon you? You must not only be troubled for the sins of your life and the sin of your nature, but also for the sins of your very best duties and performances. Before you can have peace with God, you must be brought to see that God may justly damn you for the very best prayer you ever put up. The Bible says the only way to have peace with God is to confess that we are sinners in need of a Savior and be born again." ChurchOfTheKingMcAllen.org at 7401 North Ware Road, just south of Five Mile Line.
Sometimes we float, unanchored on the ups and downs of our feelings. As Christians, we have seen the Lord's wonderful deeds, yet in our peril, our courage dissolves away. Often we can go into a shipwreck of despair. At such times, when we cry out to the Lord, He will rescue us from our distress. He reduces the storm to a whisper and all grows calm as He brings us into the peaceful haven that we long for. All too frequently we forget God's everlasting faithfulness. He has never let us down, nor will He ever let us down. When we take our eyes away from the dizzying swell of our circumstances, when we fix our minds on our Lord's unfailing love, then our nauseous, seasick ride of anxiety will turn to praise and joy. Almighty God will draw us near to Him. Our life is calmed, and Jesus brings us peace in the haven of God's heart.
A 60-second look at sports with Dr. Dwight Allen.
While talking with National Tractor Pulling Chaplain Tony Kelly, I asked him if he knew of drivers who actually bounced around from tractor pulling to those that get involved in the NHRA and drag racing.
We've got several pullers that are former drag racers. Ken Veeney, who is known throughout the drag racing world, he is a member of the Drag Racing Hall of Fame, Motorsports Hall of Fame. He built the first billet heads for the Hemi engines. He's now a tractor puller. Very nice gentleman.
Well, I'm glad he confirmed that fact, because it's been bugging me for years. So now I can literally rest in peace. And you can go to Facebook at A Second Look at Sports and tell me what you think. Dwight Allen here, your sports chaplain of the year, for A 60-Second Look at Sports, saying, hey, don't quit.
I hear a lot of well-established Christian youth professionals say that clothing and hairstyles aren't battles that parents need to be fighting. I have to respectfully take issue with that. Hi, I'm Trace Embry with a thought from Shepherd's Hill Farm. If you allow your teenage son or daughter to dress in a manner associated with occult practices, gang activity, sexual perversions, and any other activity that may be contrary to a biblical worldview, who do you think your child is going to attract as friends? If your teen's desire is to dress in a fashion that identifies himself with a group that is contrary to anything Christ-like, your problem may be deeper than clothing. Unless he has a genuine missionary motive, how a person adorns himself is an outward indicator of how that person perceives himself. Teens often deny that dress is significant. That's when they need to be asked why they spend so much time, energy, and money to look the way they do.
Trace is the founder and director of Shepherd's Hill Farm, a Christ-centered and biblically-based program serving at-risk teens. Watch our video and learn more at shfteens.org.
Economically, spiritually, and morally, America is in a state of emergency. But you can make a difference, because prayer changes things. 2 Chronicles 7:14 states, "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, then God will heal the land." Join us this September on the 28th and 29th in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, for a solemn assembly at Independence Mall, and let your voice be heard at the place where America was born. Stand up for righteousness as multitudes gather to turn to our only hope for transformation, America for Jesus 2012. Register online today at AmericaForJesus2012.org. Answer the call to prayer and join us at America for Jesus 2012 on September 28th and 29th on Independence Mall in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
You've been listening to RevMediaNetwork.com, where the most influential ministers and Christian talk show hosts are brought to you daily 24/7 on your online connection.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, David Yanez, and you are listening to Midwatch with the Rev. Thank you, and you know, God bless you for just even sticking with us for a while here. We've been on the air for almost, oh goodness, 8 years now, and now we have our own studio and our own broadcast station. So God is doing good things, and another good thing He's doing is He brought us another wonderful, wonderful guest. We have Miss Sarah Sundin. How are you doing, Sarah? Or Susan Sundin.
I'm fine, thank you.
And Susan, what part of the country are you living right now?
I'm in Northern California.
Okay, that's what I was trying to recognize the area code that I dialed. I was like, I know that. Where do I know that? It's got to be in California somewhere.
It is.
Oh, well, we're very, very glad that you can be with us here, Sarah. And we just want to welcome you, of course, to the show. But first of all, a lot of people don't know what you do, and you're a good book writer there. You have several books out, don't you?
I do. Now, my fourth one just came out on the market. I write historical fiction set during World War II for the Christian market.
I like the cover design on that one. That is nice.
I know. They did a wonderful job. My publisher, Revell, does fabulous cover work.
Wow. Yeah, that is very nice. So, this is fiction?
It is fiction, yes.
Well, now, what caused you to write fiction? I mean, because a lot of authors can write different things, and some authors just like the fiction, like the discovery of it.
Oh, yeah. Nonfiction to me feels like having to write a report for school. It's like, it drains me. It, you know, it feels like hard work. But fiction for me, it's just telling stories. It's fun. The stories just come, and the characters are right there, and I get to play with them. And I just love it. Just love writing fiction.
Now, Sarah, have you always been a writer, or have you always been a storyteller?
Well,
you sound like you have.
No.
You sound like you could tell like the most. Just your voice. You sound like you could tell some of the most wonderful stories for us.
Yeah, I've always enjoyed stories. I've been a reader all my life, and I've always enjoyed telling stories. But I never really considered writing. It just wasn't very practical. It was about as practical as being a ballerina, and I knew I wasn't going to be a ballerina. And I chose a career in pharmacy. Very practical, and I love science too. I'm good at math and science, so that was a really good fit for me. And never even really thought about writing, and then God decided I was going to write.
Now, okay, you say God decided. Now, how did you know that God decided? You got to tell us this part since you said that.
Yeah, I know. I literally had a dream. I woke up one morning, and the dream was so compelling. The characters were right there. The plot was all there. And I thought, I need to write this down. And I didn't even know how to start writing it down. So I just wrote the whole story down longhand in pencil on binder paper, because that was all I had in the house, and ended up with an enormous, very bad novel. But it got me started, and I know for sure that it was as if God flipped on a switch in my brain and said, now you are a writer. Mm. But I hold it very loosely in my hand because I know he could turn that switch off.
Amen.
Just as quickly.
What was the title of that one?
I'm sorry?
What was the title of that book?
Oh, I called it Still Waters, but it will never, ever, ever be published, nor should it be. It was very bad. So that one's in my file cabinet.
But and, like you said, you know, he gave you the switch was turned on, and he put the passion in you to write.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and absolutely. I mean, he knew you can do things like the math and science, but he wanted to turn on that part.
Absolutely.
And now, has the math and science helped you in your writing?
Actually, it has. I tended to I've picked some rather technical subjects. I mean, I write basically historical romance, so the underlying story is always a love story. However, on my first series, the heroes were three brothers who were B-17 bomber pilots. And part of my research involved reading the flight manual for the B-17 and watching the training film and basically teaching myself how to fly without ever having flown a plane. And the fact that I had taken a lot of physics and could understand technical terms made it a lot easier for me. So I was able to understand the principles of aerodynamics and a lot of the more technical terms that came up with doing that part of the research to make it real to me. And then I keep getting, this is my healthcare background, I keep making my characters get sick or get them injured. And so my healthcare background comes in handy. And in my new series, it follows three nurses, flight nurses. So I really get to use my healthcare background, which is a lot of fun.
That's nice. I mean, you think about it, you can use some of that background that you have and make characters out of them and make plots.
Exactly.
And that's got to make it a little easier. And everybody likes it when it's real. When a person that does have some knowledge in the reading your novel, they're going to say, wow, this person really did their research. And they little do they know that that's your life.
Yeah. Well, even though I'm a pharmacist, I work with a lot of nurses. So I see the dynamics between nurses. And anytime you get a lot of women together, there's a certain dynamic to it. And I've had a lot of nurses say, oh, my goodness, you've gotten it down. Like, oh, I just observe.
That's awesome, though. Now, does a lot of people... Now, are you a full-time writer? Are you still doing the pharmacist?
Yes. I write pretty much 40 hours a week now.
Wow.
But I still work six and a half hours of my shift at the local hospital in the pharmacy, which I really like. I enjoy keeping that up, and it also, it's such a left-brained analytical thing. It allows my right creative side of the brain to rest and recharge.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, it actually ends up recharging me.
And see, that's good because everybody needs something that they like to do, and just to get themselves away from the. Because I mean, the book writing, the pushing this forward. I mean, it's hard to put a book out there. It's a lot of work,
and
to get away from it and do something you enjoy, then that's always a blessing. I preach, I travel, I have the radio station, I'm in mission trips, but you know what? I still sell real estate. Because it's fun. I like it, and the commission checks are good.
Yeah.
They're really good. So if you know,
well, there you go.
I don't do a whole bunch, but when I do them, it gives me an activity that I still enjoy doing. That so why am I gonna stop? And of course, the funds always help the ministry. So
I joke that my one day a week in pharmacy still pays me more than my writing. And it's true.
Well, we're on the same on the real estate part, too. My one closing will take care of me more than my 3 months of ministry. So,
yep, I totally understand.
But you know what? If I was doing houses in California instead of Texas, that would take care of me for the year, probably.
Well, but, yeah. It would, except houses in California aren't selling. So it would be really